much. Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. If you have your Bible, get your Bible out. We're going to talk for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to talk about the seven attributes of a great father. Now, I was kidding a few people. I saw them this morning. And I said, I love being a grandfather. I was asking if I could skip being a father and just go right to the grandfather stage, and they said that was not possible. So today we're going to talk for a couple minutes about how to be a great dad. And we're going to look into God's Word, and we're just going to discuss and look and see how we can be a great father. And all God's people said amen. Amen. So we are in a series called Questions from Heaven, and all year long we're looking at all the questions that God or Jesus asked of us. And so the scripture that I'm using today for Father's Day is Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. It says this, if you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now listen. There's only one perfect father, and that is God. But we're here today, and many fathers are here today, and I think it's liberating for us to understand that God is not looking for us to be perfect fathers. He's looking for us to be fathers that are working and becoming more and more like Christ. So today we're going to look at some attributes, and I want to encourage you, if you are a father or a grandfather, it's never too late to become all that God wants you to be. And my son-in-law Matthew is here on the front row, and this is his first Father's Day, and Shepherd is with us today, and so we want to wish him a happy Father's Day. And Allison, so glad they're here. So we're going to look at, let's look at the screen and look at a couple things that some famous people have said about Father's Day and about great fathers. Billy Graham says this, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. James Dobson said this, a godly father is a man who walks with God, with God, that his children will want to walk with God too, not out of fear, but out of affection for the Father they see in him. And then the last quote, I love this, to be a father is not merely to provide a home, a house, but to build a home, not just to give an allowance, but to offer an ear, not to only correct faults, but to model grace. And so today I'm going to give you what I believe are some seven attributes of being a great, great dad. But before we do that, I thought since this is Father's Day weekend and it's the U.S. Open, and I'm so looking forward to today. I'm looking forward to preaching and being with you and celebrating today. Right after church, I got a tea time with Austin and Aaron and Matt. We're going to go play golf. And then after golf, we're going to go have a big cookout at the house. I'm really looking forward to it. I love Father's Day. So I thought just real quickly, I would give you some tips, fathers. And I'm calling it sand traps to avoid. If you're a father, I'm going to give you real quickly seven sand traps to avoid. Now, for those of you who don't know much about golf, sand traps are part of golf. Sand traps basically protect you and protect the green, and you've got to maneuver around the sand traps to get to the goal, which is the hole. So here's a couple sand traps that I picked up, went online, and they're obviously full of sand, and they can be overwhelming sometimes. When you're on the course and all you look at is all you see is the sand trap and you don't see the hole. And so it can be a little overwhelming, these sand traps. Here's the good news this morning. Watch this. As dads, like golfers, don't be overwhelmed by the sand traps of life. Because you're going to get in the sand every once in a while. And when you get in the sand, it's not the end of the world. Now, for me, when I get in the sand, it usually means it's going to cost me two or three strokes. But in life, when you get in the sand, it's not the end of the world. So you do have to have some skill and a little bit of the right equipment. So I brought one of my sand wedges here today. And this is what I use a lot when I get in the sand. And sometimes it's really discouraging when you get in the sand. You get feeling guilty. You get feeling ashamed. You made a mistake as a father, and you wonder how you become better. Well, you can get out of the sand if you use the right tools and you have the right attitude. So let me give you real quickly, by the way, this will keep your attention if I walk around with my sand wedge like this, so I might use this. Let me give you real quickly, this is going to be free advice to all the dads, 7 sand traps that you and I need to avoid to become great dads. Number one, the sand trap of absence. Being there in body, but not in heart. Number two, the sand trap of harshness. Using anger instead of instruction. Number three, the sand trap of inconsistency. Saying one thing and doing another. Number four, the sand trap of withholding affection. Confusing strength as weakness. Number five, the sand trap of materialism. Giving things instead of giving time. Number six, the sand trap of spiritual neglect. Leaving the soul to mom or the church. And number seven, the sand trap of pride. Refusing to say, I was wrong. These are sand traps that are out there. They're real. And I can tell you as a dad, I've fallen into all 7 of these sand traps. But it's not the end of the world. When you fall into the sand trap, you learn how to get out and you keep going. And all God's people said. Amen. All right, so let me give you 7 attributes of what I think a great father is. Here's number one. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Amen. Number one, great fathers create an atmosphere of grace and growth. Now, in your notes, you've got them there. I want you to circle that word there, grace. Because great fathers create an atmosphere of grace and growth. I believe growth happens when you have an atmosphere of grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace. I want you to notice that grace comes before knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. God gets glory when fathers operate out of a spirit of grace. And when there is grace, there is growth. As you know, we've got 4 beautiful kids. Allie is here today. Austin is here today. And we've had incredible time raising our 4 children. There was one thing that I came up with, and I regretted it the first time I did it, but I saw the benefits of it. We called it Grace Night. And we would have dinner all together, and this was a time, and I came up with this idea, and I said, guys, this is the time where you can confess anything. And you tell mom and dad anything, and you will be immediately forgiven, and we will pray, and we will move on. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I'm squeezing Tammy's hand underneath the table as the kids are confessing about sneaking out and toilet paper and the neighbors. I mean, it was amazing the stuff that would come out, but it was really cool, watch this, to see the grace and the forgiveness took place when Tammy and I made a conscious decision to create an atmosphere of grace and growth. I think one of the great attributes of being a great father is to create that culture of having grace and growth. I love what Jim Valvano said. He said this, my father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me. And when you give grace and extend grace to your children, you will cause them to grow and become all that God wants them to be. Number two, great fathers forgive freely and model restoration. They forgive freely. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgives you. Someone once said, a father's forgiveness is a glimpse of God's grace. A couple years ago when my boys were playing baseball, they had about 4 or 5 of their friends come over to our house before practice. And somehow, I don't know how it happened, but my boys and their friends locked their cleats, their glove, their hats in the car, and they were a few minutes away from practice, and they couldn't get into the car to get out their equipment. Now, you do know that teenagers have a gap in their brain. And this was never more evident than today that that gap was really wide. There's a gap in their brain, and it doesn't get connected until they become about 21, experts say. Well, there was a huge gap. My boys, along with their friends, decided that it would be a really good idea to try to get into the locked car and get their equipment, and they decided to use a hammer and a screwdriver to try to pick the lock. And when I came home, I was just amazed at their intellect. And as a father, I had to forgive them and thinking to myself, there was five of you, and this was the best idea that you could come up with to take a screwdriver to unlock the door? What were you thinking? But I used it as a wonderful time to not only forgive, but to restore. And the restoration was they would be working at my house for the next 6 months to pay the mechanic bill of $600 to fix my car lock. Great fathers forgive freely, and they cultivate a culture of restoration, and they model restoration for their children. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number three, I think great fathers, they discipline with love, not anger. Proverbs chapter 3, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and as a father, the son he delights in. Dr. Dennis Wheatley said this, a father's discipline should be like a compass, not a club. Great fathers discipline with love, not anger. Many of you knew my dad, Pastor Jim George. He was a pastor here for many, many years. You probably never got the chance to meet my grandfather, Grandpa George. Grandpa George came over from Scotland, and he was an incredible leader and an incredible man of God. Believe it or not, Grandpa George was only about that tall. He was witty. He was funny. He knew a little bit about everything. He was well-read. And one of the things I noticed about my grandfather is that he never got angry. He never yelled. He had so much authority that when we were acting up and goofing around and we were getting into mischief, my grandfather would come on the scene, and he did one thing that got everyone's attention, and it worked every single time. Valerie, my cousin, is here. She'll remember this. Grandpa would not yell. He would not scream. But he walked into a chaotic situation. He would simply lift his finger like this. And it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. It was amazing. He wasn't leading out of being dominant or loud. He earned our respect by being a godly man and a godly leader. And when things got out of hand, he never got out of hand. He was always in control. And when things got a little chaotic, he simply led with skill and excellence by lifting his finger. And everyone, I mean everyone, was silent. Great fathers lead, not in yelling, not in screaming, but they lead with godly discipline and skill. And maybe it's time for us to start lifting our fingers and yelling a little bit less. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number four, real quickly. Great fathers encourage and speak life into their kids. They encourage and they speak life into their kids. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit all who listen. A father's words can become a child's inner voice. George Madison says encouragement is oxygen to the soul. One year, Aaron Scott was playing Little League. He played Maitland Little League, and they were the Maitland Braves. It was so much fun on Saturday mornings going to see my sons play baseball, and Aaron was a really good baseball player. He got elected to play on the All-Star team. And so this was a big deal. I mean, I think he was 9 or 10 years old. And he was on the Maitland All-Stars. And so, boy, they got new jerseys, and they had practice, and they were getting all excited to play in this big competition in the city. And I could tell that Aaron was really, really nervous. And I thought, this is going to be a really good time for me to have a teachable moment for my son Aaron. So we're driving in the car to the first game, and he was nervous. I mean, you could tell he was just anxious and nervous. So I said, Aaron, I want to let you know today, son, you're getting ready to play All-Stars. I said, if you get up there today and you hit a home run, and you hit a triple, or you hit a double, or you hit a single, I'm going to love you this much. And I also said this. I said, Aaron, if you strike out, if you miss the ball, if you blow the game and you lose because of your error, guess how much I'm going to love you. And I said, Aaron, I'm going to love you this much. And guys, I'm not kidding. The stress, the anxiety, the fear that he had immediately went away because his dad spoke life and spoke encouragement over him. Guess what, church? If you mess up this week, if you blow it this week, if you strike out this week, God is going to love you this much. And if you hit a home run and you win the game, guess what? God is going to love you this much. Great fathers speak encouragement and life to their kids. And what do? Their kids receive that encouragement and they become all that God wants them to be. Great fathers speak encouragement and speak life. Can I get an amen? Are you still with me? Number five, great fathers are consistent and they are dependable. Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. So as fathers, great fathers, I believe one of the characteristics is that they are consistent and they are dependable. The strength of a father is found in his reliability. My dad took me driving for the first time on Rock Lake Drive, which is in downtown Orlando, just a few miles from here. And I'd never driven before. I don't think my kids know this story. So we got in the car and dad showed me where the brake was and where the accelerator was and how to put on the blinkers and do the whole thing. And we went for my first drive. And I went down Rock Lake Drive and I did pretty good. I took a left turn and managed that pretty good. And then I went a few blocks and I took another left turn, and suddenly, I don't know what happened, but in the middle of me driving, I panicked and I took a really, really hard left turn into our neighbor's front yard. Front two tires popped, and I'm sitting in the front of A and Dea's front yard and panicked and crying and upset. And my dad navigated that very painful, difficult moment in my life. It could have scarred me forever, but my dad was consistent. And he was reliable, and he didn't panic, and he didn't get out of control, but he managed that situation. And I'm so glad that my dad demonstrated for me the power of being reliable and being dependable. So dads, if your kids take your car and drive it over the sidewalk and bust the two front tires, guess what? Show reliability and show dependability and model what a great father is. Can I get an amen? And then number seven, I love this one. No, actually, number six. Great fathers listen more and speak less. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Carl Mettinger says this, listening is a magnet and a strange thing. A creative force. The one who listens to us are the ones that we move forward. If I could tell fathers anything, I'll tell them this. As you navigate with your kids, learn to speak less and listen more. You guys been watching the World Cup? It's been really, really fun. I think Jared and Samantha just got back from a World Cup game over in California. I'm jealous. There's a new trend that's called mouth covering. And I guess over the years, players, they were on the field and they would yell or they would scream and they would say maybe some racist comments here and there. So this is the first time in World Cup history that they have a rule that if you say something to another player and it's wrong, it's evil, it's ugly, it's racist, they try to cover their mouths so the cameras won't see what they say. And so for the first time in history, a guy did the other day, he was saying something to another player, and he covered his mouth, and he said something bad, and he got kicked out of the game. It's called mouth covering. I like that rule. I think great fathers ought to implement that rule as they raise up their sons and their daughters. Speak less and listen more. You will be amazed at what you will hear as a father if you will not always be the one that's given instruction and given wisdom. Cover your mouth and listen. You'll be amazed what they tell you, and you'll learn, and it will help you to be a better dad and a better leader. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number 7, great fathers point their children to God and not just themselves. Someone once said, don't raise your children to be good. Raise them to know the God who is good and show them his face in yours. Great fathers point their children to God and not just themselves. 7 attributes of a great dad. When you get in the sand trap, you'll be able to get out and become the great dad that God wants you to be. I'm gonna have all the dads stand up just real quick. Drew, if you'll come up, and in the balcony, all the dads, all the granddads, you guys come down just for a moment. I'm gonna pray for you. Come on down. Come all the way up front.